Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. This week's podcast is brought to you by Adams Independent Testing. You can find Adams Independent Testing at www.hempinspection.com. Again, that's www.hempinspection.com, or give them a call at 888-897-HEMP. That's 888-897-4367. On this week's podcast, we're going to talk with Blaine Bechtold. Blaine is the industry and government liaison for iHemp Michigan, who will talk about the upcoming Michigan iHemp Conference, and that'll be happening on January 22nd and 23rd. But first, we'll get things started with Christy Apple. Christy is the owner and operator of Crop Scout Christy Consulting. She's located in central Michigan, but works with farmers throughout the Midwest. How you doing today, Christy?
Hi, Jason. Thanks for having me on, and thanks to the Midwest Hemp Council for hosting this podcast.
Oh, absolutely. We've had you on before. It was a pleasure, and we got a lot of information from you, so I'm looking forward to the same thing today. So, again, it's great to have you on there. And let's get people caught up quickly with what you do, what you're all about. Tell us what Crop Scout Christy is all about and how you came up with that name. And, again, you are in the consulting business now for hemp folks, so tell us all about that and how that came about.
Thanks, Jason. Right. So my business has been a part of the agronomy world now for many years. I actually got my start in agronomy, working with corn and soybean farmers in central Michigan, alfalfa, sugar beets, your traditional row crop. About 5 years ago, I took a deviation looking for some new challenges and finding an opportunity to work with specialty crop growers. So I started opening doors and expanding my educational expertise into vineyards, hops, other horticultural crops, including greenhouse operations, microgreens, vegetables, et cetera, which then eventually opened the door for me to start working with industrial hemp farmers. So I have been actively hustling very, very hard in the industrial hemp world all throughout the Midwest now, for this is my third growing season. So it's an exciting industry to be a part of. There's a lot of nuance and things to learn. And for somebody with my background, being an agronomist, being able to coach farmers and helping them scale their businesses to agricultural production practices that make sense, that are good for the crop and the environment, that's kind of where I hang my hat. And that's how I really tune things in for the industrial hemp world.
Well, obviously, you had the agriculture experience before you got into hemp. You've been growing for 3 years. What kind of success or failures have you had in those 3 years?
Specifically in the industrial hemp world, I think we're inventing the production manual. Our other cropping systems have these, you know, wealth and depth of educational resources and extension and research and development that has taken place and just crazy amounts of documentation. For the industrial hemp world, I mean, this is a crop that's been growing in the closet in the back 40 ditch rows for ages now. So we are literally inventing standard operating procedures on the fly. And so what that means is a lot of tweaking, a lot of analytical work, a lot of, risk associated with this crop. There's a lot of, hysteria about people being able to make millions in this industry. And I think eventually this will be a really, really great business venture for people if they do it right. And so, what we've learned over these last couple of years has been get a plan B, get a plan C, D, E, F, G, have plenty of financial resources to allow you to flex midstream. Otherwise, you're going to have a really stressful ride along the road. I think partnering too with an agronomist, I think, is probably one of the biggest missed opportunities that farmers have taken advantage of. They're trying to do everything on their own. They're trying to do everything watching YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. And there is just so much, essence and so much engagement that this plant requires for you to really be doing it in the best way possible, on the economic side, but also in the integrity of the cannabinoid production or the grain production or whatever you're choosing to do with your industrial hemp crop. So,
well, and of course, the internet has been one of the greatest advantages for self-help and learning, but it's also one of the biggest disadvantages because there's so much misinformation on there. And that's why, as you said, a consultant, people involved in the industry are who you want to tap their brains and get that information. You've kind of narrowed down the production challenges to kind of five key points. Why don't you talk about those and tell us about that?
Right. There's definitely these pinch points, these pain points that continue to emerge as a farm gives, you know, I get phone calls a lot. I get a lot of messaging on social media. People reach out to me all the time as a resource for this production world. But the questions kind of keep funneling into these same buckets. And I think probably one of the biggest challenges that farmers are facing right now is truth in genetics. And I think that there's been an improvement. The 2020 growing season saw some big, big strides in genetics integrity. You're actually getting what you're paying for, but still huge amounts of fraud out there, huge amounts of missed, you know, unmet expectations mm-hmm. and lack of education about the genetics we're putting out there. I think that goes back to also, what exactly do you want to do with your crop? Are you trying to be a fully integrated system and you put together an extraction setup and you want to have your own brand? Or are you somebody that wants to produce biomass to be converted into something else? Like, those really important questions, I think, mm-hmm. are really keep tripping people up again and again as they go into this process. And especially for, you know, people that are looking at this as a new adventure for the 2021 growing season, I just strongly encourage you to partner with deeply vetted genetics companies, people that have an accountability chain in place, so that if you have a failure, there's somebody there to answer the phone on the other line to help you.
Do you see a lot of farmers, Christy, that kind of shun any sort of help or outside influence and say, you know, I'm just going to go out and plant what I want to plant. And then, you know, because I've read all these articles and heard all this information, I can sell this and make all this money. And I really don't need any assistance, any help. And then those folks getting burned. Do you see a lot of that?
Yeah, I mean, that's about half of the phone calls that I get. Those phone calls typically come sometime in June, July, when the seed hasn't come up like they expected it. I get the phone call when it's been a month after the seed has been in the ground, and they're like, Christy, I don't know what to do. It's not coming up and nobody's here to help me. What do I do now? The problem is, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Right.
And when we're talking about genetics, we have to recognize that our expectations for seed, if you were to purchase tomato seed from a company and they ship it to your house and you plant your tomatoes, there's a certain expectation that you're going to have a certain percentage of germination, you're going to have a certain percentage of success, because these genetics have been reproduced en masse to expose vulnerabilities and to be weeded out through this genetic selection process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, in the industrial hemp world, because we are such a new industry, it's been illegal to do some of this for so long that depth and that breadth of genetic selection hasn't been taking place. We just haven't been doing it long enough to be very good at it. Mm-hmm. So we're planting seeds that some guy that planted, you know, hemp last year and it went to seed, collected and gave to me for free. And I'm planting hemp this year and expecting some type of meaningful crop. It is still happening, Jason. And it breaks my heart, because people put blood, sweat, and tears into this, a tremendous financial investment. And, you know, in the infrastructure that is associated with being a farmer. And still we keep tripping up on these same stumbling blocks, genetics, 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 mm-hmm. vet the living daylights out of your genetics. And if people are acting shady about it, walk away. Do not get sucked up into this concept that I want to, you know, I'm trying to keep my business local, keep my business small. You can do that and still work with good people.
Sure, sure. Right? Vetting is very important.
Very, very important. But nonetheless, here we are approaching, mm-hmm. you know, planting season number three for some, you know, a majority of our states that are planting industrial hemp. And we're still experiencing this. For the states that are just coming online for the 2021 growing season, I just put this huge cautionary tale of, vet the daylights out of these genetics or you will struggle all season long, mm-hmm. all season long.
And Christy, what are some of the other challenges out there in those top five key production challenges that you talk about?
So the second biggest problem or hurdle that I see, this is semi-related to genetics, but it has a little bit to do with cultural practices too. And that's if the planter, a farmer is going to be planting the seed directly into the soil, that they're planting it either too deep, too shallow, they're planting it into soils that are too damp. we really struggle, or the site selection. So everything associated with getting that seed up and out of the ground. So similarly in the fashion for somebody who's using a transplant system where they're growing seedlings or clones, and they're expecting to have this, you know, this great crop. I'm putting in 2,500 clones per acre, and I'm, you know, half of them are dead already. What happened? So kind of diving back into where your seed is coming from and what kind of coaching you're getting on that. If you're direct seeding, planting depth is very, very specific. Also, if you are going to be planting solid seed, for example, if you're planting for a grain crop or for a fiber or combo crop, you're going to be planting a lot more seeds per acre. You don't need to plant 10,000 seeds per acre if you're producing for cannabinoids. I saw growers really put a lot of dollars into an acre, putting 3x and 4x and 5x the amount of seed they needed. But it goes back to getting some coaching before you go to the field with that, or even before you're making your seed purchase. You know, talk with a cannabis consultant or somebody like myself that can help direct you on how many plants per acre I need, what row spacing should I work with, and that kind of thing. So those like cultural practices really being another huge pinch point.
And continue on.
Yeah. So the third piece of this is going to be testing. Okay. One of the things that I spend a ridiculous amount of time doing in the summer is physically being out in the fields, either with a farmer or they will contract me to go out and do tissue analysis and scouting. Mm-hmm. So the first component of that testing is going to obviously be soil testing. I think that's really important for you to develop a nutrient management plan that makes sense. And then following that up in season with tissue analysis. And so what we do is actually take leaves, collect them in a scientific method, send them to a lab for analysis, and get some nutrient readings back. It'll tell us, do we need some calcium? Do we need some magnesium? Do we need some micronutrients like boron or zinc that could seriously limit our growth and production potential, for the crop finishing component there. Mm-hmm. And then another piece of the testing is going to be your compliance testing. I think this year I actually partnered with our Michigan Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources lab director. His name is Craig Van Buren. And I just reached out to him. I said, Craig, why aren't we testing earlier? And he said, Christy, I have no idea why. I said, can we do something together? And so I put together a 10-minute video where Craig and I did some Q&A and gave farmers some really important critical information to have success in testing early and testing often for compliance. Mm-hmm. The THC compliance is huge, but there's also an opportunity there for us to get out there and measure the maturity of our field. We are going to be validating how mature our field is. So testing on the maturity side is really, really critical too. If we're not paying attention to how mature our crop is, we may be missing opportunities that are really important. This year we had some grain farmers have some really unfortunate results for their farms because they waited too long to harvest. And by the time they felt like the heads were mature enough, the birds got into them and left nothing for harvest. Mm. And so you can see how, you know, the testing sort of helps you along the way because you're physically out in the field and you're physically engaging in that plant and being able to measure the maturity there. So that testing, and then, you know, monitoring the maturity there. I think those things kind of go hand in hand. So,
and what kind of financial, I don't know, we wouldn't call it a burden, but for testing and this sort of thing, again, we get back to where people are just throwing some seeds in the ground and hoping for the best and thinking, well, I can't afford all this testing and all this consulting. What kind of financial commitment are they making with that?
I mean, that's a valid question, Jason. And I think, you know, this actually speaks to another one of our production challenges is kind of this like scarcity mentality. I'm not going to have enough profit to justify this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's actually one of my key challenges is this mentality that we're not going to have enough profit to do this. So we're going to hold back here. We're going to hold back here. And then you find out at the end of the season that you may have lost everything or lost, mm-hmm. 30 or 40 or 50% of your total yield potential or ROI. Because you weren't willing to spend that. So when we're talking about what does that actually cost? I mean, you're talking about $70 for a tissue sample, to get a complete tissue analysis on the nutrient balance. You're talking about doing your compliance testing. I recommend doing third-party compliance testing so that you can gauge when it's time to send that in. Those tests are, you know, there's a cost associated with that. Mm-hmm, but at the end of the day, if you wait till you it looks good and you send that into your state for your compliance validation and they come back and say, huh, sorry. You know, there's states that don't allow you to retest. Michigan, we have the ability to retest. But I know in other geographies here, that's not an option.
Oh, wow.
And so that means the door is closed, right? You don't pass your compliance test with the state. Door is closed. Case done. Till it under. Burn it. Whatever. Mm-hmm. It's over, right? Mm-hmm. So spending $100 to do a third-party testing on compliance, I'm telling you, that is worth its weight in gold.
Absolutely.
And, you know, on the maturity side of that, if you're growing for grain or for fiber or for cannabinoids, knowing when the right time to harvest is, or knowing when to pull back nutrient applications so that you don't have nutrients still, you know, actively in the plant, allowing it to naturally flush before you harvest. I mean, these are like the pro tips type of thing that small scale marijuana producers have been employing for years. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to translate that into scaling that on the field scale for, you know, the industrial hemp cannabinoid production side, you know, so that's something that it takes a little bit of finessing to get you there. But those are really those missed opportunities. And that was really my last point, you know, is those kinds of missed opportunities mm-hmm. to maximize your productivity in the field, maximize your people efficiency in the field, and to really maximize your return on investment. There's not very many people I know that are in the industrial hemp world, whether you're a producer or whatever, and you're not with the intention of making money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, this is you're contributing to a larger, you know, industry here, but ultimately your business has to stay in business or
right,
it's not
right.
a business.
Well, now you say you've been doing this for 3 years now. I'm interested to hear what kind of advancements you saw in the mentality of the growers and the farmers out there in 2020 compared to 2019, 2018, and maybe your prediction for 2021.
Yeah, so I think something that's really dramatically evolved is this concept of, you know, we have to do the lollipopping and the pruning and that type of thing. If you're growing for cannabinoid outdoors, I don't feel that that's really necessary. And I think if you're processing for biomass, if you're harvesting for biomass, you can grow a really solid biomass crop that's compliant and has a really healthy cannabinoid percentage there without that extra labor. Also, you know, the evolution of equipment and weed management techniques has been really awesome to watch. People have gotten incredibly innovative in the way that they're harvesting for biomass with these stripper heads, with these modified biomass choppers, really neat things happening in that realm. That story continues to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually, I think, really improving the ROI on a per acre investment. When I say ROI, I'm talking about return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, using infrastructure that already exists on that farm and doing some slight, either temporary or permanent modifications to this existing equipment to make it work, instead of going and buying a brand new piece of something for every little function of your industrial hemp crop, using what you have and getting innovative there. I think that has been really inspiring. And that has really helped farmers to, you know, think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
Farmers are naturally innovators, and that's been really cool to watch. I think something that another huge improvement that I've seen, as I mentioned when we first started visiting here, is on the genetics side of things. These companies are now online with 2 and 3 years worth of research that they can say, look, we've gotten a couple of, you know, generations put together here. We've done some pheno hunting. We've done some genetic selection. This is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's very exciting for me as well. And I think that holds a lot of promise to just continually improve our germination rates, our standability, our regional selections, something that grows, you know, here in Michigan and in the heart of, you know, Michigan where I'm located versus what would grow better towards, you know, the southwest portion of Michigan where they have a little different climatology, right? There's maybe some different options there. And now that we've gotten a few seasons under our belts, these genetics companies are starting to recognize how to better suit their seed with regional nuances, which is, I think, is excellent. We do that in seed corn production. We do that in other cropping systems. And so there's no reason why we can't keep improving in that regard when it comes to industrial hemp. So,
well, with all this positivity and things seem to be going in the right direction on the educational side, the research side, that sort of thing. What do you see out there as negative things that maybe have taken a step backwards that could be prevented or need to be prevented in the future?
I always go back to the, you know, the regulatory hot potato. You know, I feel like our industry is not able to move forward in a large, meaningful way because we have these regulatory gray areas. And I feel like the USDA is not doing us any favors. You know, the FDA isn't stepping in certain ways. And so therefore the DEA is the voice that's being heard right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that treating industrial hemp, you know, as the way that the DEA is wanting us to treat it, I think is unfair. I think we need to delineate the crop purposes and maybe even regulate those individually within as far as cannabinoid production versus all the rest of the industrial uses for hemp. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and what we've been able to prove is these cultivars that are grown for grain and fiber for cold pressing oils and other industrial hemp uses naturally don't produce very much THC anyway. So it isn't even a thing where we have to like genetically suppress that ability to produce THC. It's very small in the first place. So it's highly unusual for those cultivars to be out of compliance at all. And yet we still treat them, even though it isn't a Schedule I, you know, controlled substance, mm-hmm. it's still being treated as such. And I think that that's preposterous. So for me, that's the big, you know, kind of like black cloud that continues to follow our industry. And I would really, you know, I'm really excited to see some movement at the legislative level to delineate and to, you know, give us some boundaries that are more appropriate for us to operate in that'll help farmers be successful in their endeavors into industrial hemp.
Well, Krista, we've had some great information from you today. Is there any other points we needed to hit on that I haven't taken you to yet?
No, I think we really, you know, I think that those key production challenges, that's really where I geek out anyway. I'm that person, you know, I can talk about the industry as a whole all day long, but where my heart and soul is really in the field. And I tell you, I've had just the greatest relationships come out of my engagement with Midwest Hemp Council. And mm-hmm. for anybody, you know, that is listening to this podcast and is, you know, touching this organization and industry, I think that there's some really cool opportunities to keep moving our industry forward, but it takes us moving it together to make that happen. So thanks again for having me on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And again, we're speaking with Christy Apple, the owner and operator of Crop Scout Christy Consulting. So Christy, tell the folks how they can get in touch with you. I know they there'll be links on the Midwest Hemp Council website, but go ahead and tell them how they can specifically get in touch with you.
Yeah, you can always find me on social media. I'm on all the social media platforms. Christy L. Apple, Crop Scout Christy. You can find me on Instagram, on Snapchat, on Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter, Ag Twitter. I also have a website, cropscoutchristy.com, and that's C-H-R-I-S-T-I-E in the spelling of my name. And you can reach out to me there. I do consulting all over the Midwest. I work with hemp farmers. Like I said, I have other clients in different cropping systems as well, but that is kind of really where I've had a blast in working with the hemp farmers the last couple of years and helping these folks become not just profitable, but really successful in achieving their goals for their businesses. So,
well, Christy, it's been a pleasure and very educational. And again, we certainly do appreciate you joining us on the program.
Thanks again, Jason. Always great to visit with you.
All right. And as we continue on, we're speaking with Blaine Bechtold. Blaine is the industry and government liaison for iHemp Michigan. We're having a Michigan show today. Blaine, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great up here. We haven't got too much snow yet, but it's coming. We know that for sure. So we got a little dusting.
Boy, it's been a mild winter so far, hasn't it? I mean, I know in Indiana it certainly has.
It has been. There's a lot of guys with hemp out in the out this year that got a real break on getting harvest done a little later this year.
Well, so. I know a lot of people in Michigan like that snow. They like their skiing and snowmobiling and all that. But for those folks, they're probably upset. But as you said, you know, some of the farmers out there, they're not complaining at all, I wouldn't think.
They're not. And just a couple hours north of me, they've got all the snow they want. So,
well, there you go.
I'll be a good Pure Michigan people. If you want to go skiing, come on up. The lodges up north got plenty of snow for you. So.
Excellent. Good to know that. That you know, for whoever's still working out there, that's good news because you know, we need to go support those folks. So, but we brought Blaine on today to talk about the iHemp conference, and this is coming up January 22nd and 23rd. And Blaine, go ahead and tell us about this. This is a virtual event, so go ahead and tell us about it and what people can expect from the iHemp conference.
All right. So, yes, we're really excited to be able to have this year. We were planning for another live event that, like we did last year. Last year it was the biggest one we had in the Midwest area. We had 50-some speakers and 1,200 attendees and 80 exhibitors, and we're hoping for a repeat. But, you know, right now with the way things are, this is the safest way to do it and to take care of that problem. So we're really excited. One of the big fun things that we're going to have with the expo this year is a thing called the Hempy Awards. And what that is that anybody that's growing making any hemp products out there, example, myself, I grew grain and I'm making the grain into what they call hemp seed oil. Mm-hmm. It's like a cooking oil.
Sure.
So I'm going to enter that into the contest. But if somebody else is making a CBD for consumption that way, or they're making something in the textiles with clothing, or they're making something for pets, a pet treat or something like that, there's a number of different categories that you can find on the iHemp Midwest, iHempExpo.com website. And it's a great way for people to get their product out and get it mentioned, and a little award in the end that we're going to have for everybody. Hmm. So on Saturday night, we're going to have about an hour or two show that we're going to have with some music, and going to be giving away awards for those people that put in some products. So, yeah.
And how many categories or how many awards will be given out?
There's seven different categories that we're going to be doing, and there's three places in each one of those. So we have one for pets. We have one for innovation, which innovation is kind of a nice one because that's really for a innovative product and or for maybe somebody that's done something very good or a group that's done something very good to promote hemp in the industry and promote hemp down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that. We have a miscellaneous category, which anybody can enter into. Now, the miscellaneous category is the only category that somebody from outside the Midwest area can win. So it could be anything in that category. It could be food product or anything else. The other categories are meant to be awarded to Midwest area people. Now, we call the Midwest area for this event Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. So
okay.
That's what we're considering the Midwest area for this event right now.
Okay.
So there's a photo contest for anybody that's taking a lot of photos. We have both an amateur and a professional one in that category.
Oh, nice.
Personal care products is another one. So if somebody's making bath bombs or creams or lotion, that kind of thing, they'll be able to be able to enter in that as well. So
okay. And again, where can they go to find information about entering their products or information?
Yep. So that's Midwest iHempExpo.com.
Okay, Midwest iHempExpo.com.
Yeah, we've got a great lineup. 2 days of speakers we have lined up. Just give you a little rundown. We're going to have U.S. Hemp Builders. They're going to be talking about it. We have Chase Hubbard from the Jacobsons. He's going to be talking about the markets. We have another gentleman that's going to be talking about responsive drip irrigation. The idea of this expo is a sustainable world. And so this responsive drip irrigation, one where the plants actually call for the water and waters them. You don't have to water them all the time. It actually just gives them what my plant needs. So again, sustainable. U.S. Hemp Authority is going to be on there talking about the way to get certified for their seal authority on that. We have Hunter Bluffington going to be on there. She's going to talk about the Feed Coalition, U.S. Feed Coalition. So MDART for the Michigan growers, they're going to be on there talking about that. We've invited the other Department of Agriculture to also be part. We'll see if they're going to be along or not. So everybody can answer maybe questions answered, like in Ohio, right? What do we got to do to grow? We hope to have a question and answer period for them to do that.
Hmm.
We also have Neogen. They're going to talk about regenerative soil and what the plant will do for that. So that's an interesting topic we're going to have there. So a lot of really great topics are going to be listed there, and it's 2 days worth of speakers and exhibitors, and then the fun party on the end on Saturday.
Well, there you go. And I know the Midwest Hemp Council is very excited about this, and as a sponsor and exhibitor.
Absolutely, they are one of our main sponsors, and we've developed a very good working relationship with them down there. We're grateful that they're added on, and they've been part of our sponsorship for sure.
So now talk about what else. Now, as far as the event itself, again, we would be talking about, you know, how you get a ticket, how you attend, maybe where you can stay and all that good stuff. This is a virtual event. So, you know, unfortunately, we can't go out there and shake hands with each other and meet each other and that sort of thing. But and so we're sitting at home watching. How does that work? What kind of time are we looking at, the times for the event, that sort of thing?
Right. So, again, virtual, like you said. So if you go onto the Midwest IHEMP Expo website, there's information there. You get some discounts. If you're a member of IHEMP Michigan, you can get a little discount for that to be on that. So it's going to start at 9 o'clock on the 22nd with the MDART, and it's going to be an hour. Mm-hmm. And we're doing it specifically this way because we know that a lot of other growers from other parts are on a different time zone. So we're going to let kind of that Michigan one kick off. And then at 10 o'clock is going to be the opening session. We're going to have a little session there. And then we're going to, every hour, pretty much, we're going to have another group. And all this information is going to be recorded. It's going to be up there for a long time.
Oh, great.
So maybe you wanted to listen to Gary Shuler talk about the business part of things. But at the same time, maybe an exhibitor is going to have something on, maybe some equipment that you want to watch. So you don't have to make a choice. You just go watch one of them, and then when you get the chance, you can go back and listen to the recorded version on the other. There'll always be ways for you to be able to send questions or ask questions of anybody. So there'll always be a response back at some point.
Well, that's great. That's great. And again, this is the weekend of January 22nd and 23rd.
Yep.
So even if folks are not able to be sitting in front of their computers live, they can get this, they can watch basically any time. And that also helps because if you see something that you didn't quite understand, you can rewind it, go back, watch it again, and that sort of thing. So it's certainly valuable there when you're looking at the virtual
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Exhibit there.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, and Blaine, what else can we expect from the IHEMP conference?
You know, there's going to be a good chance to be networking. And unfortunately, like you say, we want to do this live. We'd love to do that live, but we're going to have the chats and the networking available. So that's going to be exciting to be able to talk to other friends, at least virtually that way, as best we can right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward for that and the great information that everybody's going to have available there. What we're looking to do with this now is kind of move the business forward. That's one of the reasons why we're having a business roundtable.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have some very big players there. Mohawk Paper is going to be involved, Amway, Ford. And we're talking about where are we going in the future with this? How, you know, what does the business need from the grower side, right, to be able to have the supply available so that they can make the fabrics or they can make the plastics that they're going to use? So that's where we're pushing this year. That's why we're bringing them in and we're getting that discussion going so we can get this whole thing get built up and get moving down the road. So we're really excited about that.
So when you,
it's really going to be fun.
And when you, I'm sorry to interrupt, when you say you're Ford and Amway, they're looking at ways to use and implement hemp into their products or into products that they can then manufacture and put out, distribute?
Correct. And the other thing that we need to know from them too is how do you need this product, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we prepare it when we harvest it, in what manner? And maybe there's certain genetics that, right, are better for the fiber side than others. So all of those things we're going to talk about because we have to make the supply chain work. It's already set up for everything else, for cotton and everything else. Just like if you're doing corn and grain, right? We've already got the elevator set up and then Kellogg set up to make the cereal and then they put it in the box and it gets to the store. So, you know, how do we help complete and what do they need to help complete that chain?
Well, and that's great that you've got companies of that size and stature that are attending and looking at hemp for the future.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is we call this the Midwest area because that's what it's meant to be. Mm-hmm. We want people from the Midwest area to be able to participate and be in this and be able to get the information and be able to help them grow if they're looking to get into the business as well.
And once again, we're speaking with Blaine Bechtold. Blaine is the industry and government liaison for iHemp Michigan. So, Blaine, go ahead and tell us one more time how folks can get in touch with you, how they can get in touch with iHemp Michigan, and get more information on the iHemp conference.
Okay. So you can get a hold of me by doing blaine@ihempmichigan.com. That'd be my email. And the Midwest iHempExpo.com is the website to be able to go and get all the information on what's going to be there, the schedule, and also, again, the Hempy Awards, which we're really excited to be able to have that and have fun with that this year. So
that will be fun. That's fantastic. Well, again, I know the Midwest Hemp Council is very excited to be a part of it, so we'll be promoting this until the 22nd, and hopefully we'll get a lot of people viewing that, get a lot of eyeballs in there, and help advance this this industry.
All right.
Thanks, Blaine. We do appreciate your time.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Take care. And that's going to do it for our show this week. This week's podcast is brought to you by Adams Independent Testing. You can find Adams Independent Testing at www.hempinspection.com. That's www.hempinspection.com. Or give them a call at 888-897-HEMP. That's 888-897-4367. If you'd like more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, please go to our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com, and find out how you can get involved, volunteer, and become a member. Thanks again for tuning in, and remember to tell a friend about the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier, and we'll see you next time. So long, everybody.